Trevor Sacardello. This is FieldPod.com, the week in English in Georgia. In Georgia, in English, coming to you from our studios high atop Tbilisi's sunny and shady Rustavelli Avenue. Today is Thursday, the 16th of May, 2013. On this date, in 1717, Voltaire is imprisoned in the Bastille. In 1843, the first major wagon train heading for the Pacific Northwest sets out on the Oregon Trail with 1,000 pioneers from Elm Grove, Missouri. 1929 is the first Academy Award ceremony. 1943, the brutal Warsaw Ghetto Uprising ends. In 1964, Mary Wells gives Motown Records its first number one hit with My Guy. In 1966, the Communist Party of China issues the May 16th notice, marking the beginning of the Cultural Revolution. Birthdays today are William Sword, advocate of the Purchase of Alaska, Studs Terkel, very cool Chicago writer. If you've not read The Good War, you should read it. Olga Korbut, Olympic gymnast, Liberace, flamboyance personified, and Janet Jackson, breast exposer. We are Cameron Christensen and me, Mark Mullen. Nothing we can say can be connected with any of our employers, past, present, or future. Matthias Hooter is in Brussels setting the EU straight. Thanks again to those posting on our forum. Some great ones from Simon, as usual, and also from Sarah Leah with a link to her blog, which is very cool and worth reading. To comment or ask us for an opinion or follow up on a topic, go to tbilpod.com or send us an email at tbilpod@gmail.com. Be sure to keep the questions for the ministers coming. I'm hoping agriculture is next. My Georgian Journal and Kritis Politra column this week is about a society of kompromats, comparing the system under Shevardnadze, whereby when somebody got a job in the government, they'd have to do something illegal before anybody would trust them, to what we have now, where the government is taping everybody, videotapes or filming them, and then using those for the people on the inside, but also against critics. And this needs to change quickly.
I hope you referred to recent events this past week, then.
Well, I try not to refer to too many things too specifically, but I'm sure that won't be lost on our readers. On Saturday, Prime Minister Bidzina Ivanishvili named Education Minister Georgi Margvelashvili as Georgian Dream's candidate for the October 13th presidential election. The 43-year-old Margvelashvili is a philosopher by education. He's taught at several universities and was rector of Chipa before becoming Minister of Education. Misha commented on the Georgian Dream's presidential candidate by alluding to the Roman Emperor Caligula, quote, "I can't say anything specific about this candidate. However, generally speaking, when one Roman emperor decided to demonstrate his domination of Roman society, he made his horse a senator," end quote. Misha said Nero instead of Caligula and later stated on his Facebook page, "Pardon me if I mention Nero instead of Caligula by accident while talking about the Roman emperor's horse, but unfortunately in this case the meaning is more decisive than the mistake, and I am absolutely not happy to connect this example to our country. I still believe that everything will be fixed." Later, Misha hints that BI may change his candidate. Full disclosure, I know Margvelashvili pretty well. He worked for NDI Georgia when I was the director there from 1997, and I was the chair of the Chipa board in 2000 that hired him as rector. Neston Kirtadze, former member of the Labor Party and flamboyant individual, I mean, not in the sense of Liberace flamboyant, but just, I don't know, always has interesting things to say, seeks to run for president under the auspices of what she calls the Georgian Abkhazian Ossetian International Movement.
That's interesting. The kind of conversation that I've been having with people lately is, what's the trajectory, the political trajectory of somebody who wants to become president in 2013? Because basically, it seems like a dead end politically. And I think it's quite interesting. Margvelashvili, you know, is coming in a bit as an unknown in terms of a political figure. You know, he hasn't really been an elected politician. So, you know, the idea that he would, he potentially is a good candidate because isn't really seeking kind of to move into political office afterwards. But otherwise, I just see, like, becoming president in Georgia in 2013 as kind of the end of your political career.
Well, I don't know whether he worked for NDI for a long time, and he's sort of interested in politics, but I haven't really seen him as a sort of politically ambitious figure. He's right in the middle of it now and commenting a lot and doing all sorts of things like that. But he may be happy not to be in politics after, you know, after serving as president, if that's what ends up happening. Yeah, there were some interesting comments he made about being sort of, you know, made of dough, that he could be shaped in any way possible. I mean, he really has, I mean, there are politically ambitious people that have moved around from sort of party to party and figure to figure, supporting that, you know, this or that country or whatever else. I mean, you know, the archetypal sort of professor of scientific communism that becomes the flag waving, you know, pro-American person or whatever else. But, you know, I wouldn't say that he's like that. You know, on the other hand, he has, you know, he has moved around in political circles for a long time without actually really, you know, doing anything politically. And now he is, you know, so I don't know what, you know, where that will lead him before and after the election, but we'll see.
Also, Bizna Ivanishvili said that he would not be changing his candidate, which you said Misha apparently referred to the fact that he might, but, he's explicitly stated that this was a final decision.
Yeah, it'd be interesting if he says that his "I'm going to leave politics in a year and a half" is a final decision now that you know, now that half a year has gone by. But we'll see. Following up on last week's story about Georgian Dream youth activist Gheorghe Paraschishvili's sex tape, on Saturday the Deputy Interior Minister Gela Kvedelidze was detained for publishing the video allegedly depicting Paraschishvili having sex with a man and a woman. Kvedelidze pleaded guilty. Interior Minister Irakli Kharabashvili stressed that this video and many others like it were filmed by the former government. Kharabashvili said he has ordered that this archive of videos be destroyed. Yesterday, the Tbilisi City Court set Kvedelidze's bail at 5,000 lari.
So Kvedelidze is actually the most senior member of the current government to have been arrested, which is quite interesting. You might have mentioned last week. But also, I like that they let him out. But he was also the person responsible for destroying those tapes, as I understand. So I guess he's watching them as he throws them away.
And, you know, keeping the good ones, yeah. I mean, the tough thing is, as I mentioned in my Vidis Palitra article and in Georgian Journal article, you know, data storage is cheap, and the temptation to, you know, just nab a hard drive and, you know,
hold on to things,
tuck it away somewhere, sure, is significant. Once those things are around, it's tough. I mean, I think just as important as all of these videos and whether or not they show up anywhere or not or how is the hoover that that the Interior Ministry still has to the servers of all of the telecommunications companies here that they need to shut off. I mean, privately, all of the telecoms firms will let you know that the Interior Ministry has whatever it wants.
Immediate access, yeah.
On Tuesday, BI held a 2.5-hour-long press conference in Tbilisi for journalists. High-profile investigations, staff changes, domestic and foreign policy issues, and relations with the media were among the issues discussed. Prime Minister debated with some journalists, slamming them for incompetent work and poor coverage of events. BI also criticized Misha, who accused him of paying 2 million unspecified currency for the prison torture videos. BI claimed he could file a lawsuit against Misha for slander, but no longer pays attention to Misha's statements because he's too busy. As for reports about his possible visit to the opening ceremony of the Sochi Winter Olympics in 2014, BI said no decision has been made yet. The answer depends largely on relations with Russia.
Yeah, actually, there's been, I saw just a minor call for Georgian athletes to boycott the Sochi Olympics. And I listened recently to a very interesting podcast about the 1936 Olympics in Berlin and who boycotted and who didn't. But, of course, professional athletes who are training to perform in the Olympics, you know, and then being asked to put it off for 4 years, it's not incredibly, I guess, attractive to them. The other thing I wanted to mention, if you go, excuse me, was that with slander, the slander legislation in Georgia is actually quite interesting because it's kind of reversed from the United States. In the sense that somebody has to, it's very liberal. So to be able to charge somebody with slander actually is quite difficult, I think, in Georgia. So the fact that he mentions that, I'm not quite sure that, you know, there's anything to follow up with there.
I think the UK are the ones who have really brutal slander legislation. I can never remember what the difference between slander is and all of those other different similarly associated crimes. But yeah, I've never heard of anybody actually being convicted here. And if you go through any Georgian newspaper, it would be amazing if it's particularly easy to get a conviction or people would be in court a lot more.
No, it's incredibly difficult here.
The official Spielpod.com position on the Olympic boycott question is Olympics should not be boycotted. You know, the Olympics are for a lot of different things, but most of all they're for the athletes. The athletes should compete there no matter where they are. Whether or not there's actually going to be any snow in Sochi is a different question, and whether or not there should be systemic reform for the Olympic Committee, where you know slathering around hundreds of millions of bucks will buy a lot, is another question. But certainly, Georgian athletes should compete there, not be pressured not to.
They're actually going to be apparently the most expensive Olympics ever. I think it's already up there.
Wow. Chief Prosecutor Archil Kabilashvili set up a special investigative commission to look into the circumstances surrounding the 2008 war, as previously mentioned. He said that 8 top investigators from his office, the Interior Ministry, and the military police will look into, quote, possible criminal activities during and after the war, end quote. There's been talk about this. Who knows what's going to happen? There's, you know, the UN had a fairly significant report come out about this that didn't really assign very much blame or say very much, and was certainly heavily criticized by the Georgian side. The Russian side says that they were vindicated, but not really. If you actually read it, I think very few of the people commenting on it actually read it. The difficulty with this is what happens for Misha after he's president. That I think he'd probably like to maybe have a bit of a cooling off period and kick back somewhere as a professor or pundit somewhere in some other part of the world. But if this is going on, if close associates of his are in jail, then he's not likely to go anywhere.
Well, and of course, the comments lately have been that he's going to be called in for questioning.
Well, I mean, fair enough, and I think that's, fine for him to be called into, into questioning. I would question the prudence of throwing him in jail, but, all right, what the government will say with some reason is that, well, if there's been crimes, if crimes have been committed, well, nobody should be above the law. I don't know, I think this 2008 commission is a little bit gratuitous. I mean, let's see. Maybe there have been things that have been covered up, but I think that there's a pretty great amount of information relating to that war in the public domain. There have been books written about it, so I don't know. We'll see.
Well, and it's certainly kind of an indication of the general practice, what seems to be a fairly misbalanced, a misbalance between looking backwards and looking forwards. And, when you're looking at the activities of the current government, there certainly seems to be a fairly large emphasis on looking backwards rather than promoting work forwards.
Yeah, let's hope that they become more forward-looking in their forward-looking agenda. On Saturday, UNM MP Georgi Vashadze and Dato Sakhvaralidze were hospitalized, along with former agriculture minister Zaza Gorozia, after a fight in the Tbilisi restaurant La Truff. The main party seems to have been the brother of longtime Aslan Abashidze button polisher Tsotne Bakuria, currently writing for the newspaper of record for the Muni community, the Washington Times. Anyway, the brother Bakuria told journalists that he and his two friends, a man and woman, were enjoying some time at the restaurant when the UNM members insulted them. And that's how the fight started. The UNM members say that the other party was drunk and provoked the fight on purpose. All 3 of the UNM guys were let out of the hospital the following day. Misha reportedly left the restaurant before the fight started. Secretary General of the UN M. Vanometabashvili left the restaurant just as the fight began.
He learned his lesson.
He accused the UNM of making rude remarks. Bakuti accused the UNM of making rude remarks which provoked the fight. According to the Ministry of Internal Affairs, criminal hooliganism case is open now, but no one has been charged. A lot of interesting things about this. Certainly stories going on about it. One of them was that the police showed up and were told that, no, this side, these are our guys. And it seems to be that that those connected with Otsneba were doing most of the beating, and the UNM people were sort of getting beaten back. A lot of ashtrays and plates and glasses were flying, which is evidently the source of a lot of the injuries. This is not such a good thing. I do know that these individuals from the UNM, and I know them as opposed to the people from the other side, are a pretty hot-headed bunch. But it's really difficult for me to imagine in the current climate that they would make insulting remarks in a situation like that, knowing what could transpire.
I can't imagine that someone doesn't have some footage of this. I feel like someone's there's going to be cell phone footage somewhere.
The 1984 word.
Exactly. What I find interesting is that the two people who probably had security with them, guards, left. So I guess there were no kind of professional security services that were involved in this situation. They said that it went on for like 10 or 15 minutes. They said it was a brawl for 10 or 15 minutes. That's what the reporting came out. And, I mean, these people must be really fit because
brawl there. Yeah, I don't know. Look, if there's any of our listeners that know anybody who was there or floating around, we'd be interested to hear the story there. So particularly if they're not participants. And just happened to be, standing, checking things out. So if so, send us an email so we can follow up on this, this little vignette of Georgian life.
There's got to be some wait staff, there who
exactly,
probably have some
exactly,
great stories.
Exactly. Yesterday, the leader of the Democratic Movement, United Georgia, Nino Bourgeanadze, remember her, announced her decision at long last to return to active political life.
Hooray.
Quote, "We are beginning active political life. The moratorium is over and we'll participate in the presidential elections by all means. We'll try to make our commitment to the country's political life," Bourgeanadze said brilliantly.
What's the deal with her husband at this point?
I don't know where he is or if he's under... I assume that he's back here now, but I don't know whether he's under prosecution or what. I sort of doubt it.
Right. If everybody remembers, the last thing was kind of Bourgeanadze held this public meeting, protest, and then there was this kind of police chase and somebody got run over and then her husband went missing, apparently was hiding in a forest somewhere down by the Azeri border and was wanted by the police and all very, very weird. And then there was secret tapes, recordings of conversations between Bourgeanadze and her son, suggesting that they could sacrifice, one or two people for their political gain and all very dirty.
Oliver, yeah, and she is, I don't remember when the poll was done, but, it was within the last year or two. She was the least popular politician in Georgia. With numbers around, 3 or 4% positive numbers.
Which is probably within the margin of error.
Yeah, which I think, and also there, there's been a tradition, I think, of misunderstanding among a lot of the international community because she... in some ways was sort of the individual that the national movement sort of threw at the foreigners for a while. She spoke English, that there has been a persistent overestimation of her importance and influence, even when she was, sort of interim president and chair of parliament. So it's, it's useful to, look at the commentary around 2004-05, in six, by internationals talking about how, she's the next one, or people, when she sort of fell out, saying, oh, what happened to her? As if there was a big change. On Saturday, UNM Member of Parliament Givi Targamadze, who's on some wanted list in Russia, arrived in Tbilisi after a four-month stay in Vilnius. Russia has accused Targamadze of organizing mass disorder in Boltnaya Square in Russia last May. The government of Russia demanded his extradition, but Lithuania refused to extradite him. Targamadze stated he is going to file a complaint with the European Court of Human Rights against the Russian leadership for his illegal prosecution. He said at the press conference that Sotsialovidze controls all government purchasing. Khukashvili deals with businessmen, and there's some group in the Ministry of Agriculture. Serious corruption schemes have been established during the past 7 months period. He also said that secret recordings are being done under the current government. And if BI is against Gaila and Eliso Kiladze as acting as that they are acting as an investigator, which were some comments that BI made during his press conference, then Khukashvili shouldn't act as a prosecutor. As far as I remember, Sotsialovidze was a cinematographically corrupt head of the Tbilisi police under Shevardnadze. Surely he can't be back, but allegedly is. You know, Targamadze has always been one to sort of throw around sort of wacky allegations. On the other hand, a lot of those wacky allegations from him, at least, turn out to be true. So, you know, that would be something to check. It's certainly Sotsialovidze's role in current purchasing.
He must have been a really effective MP from Vilnius over the last 4 months.
Yeah, exactly. What's up with that? I don't know. There's a lot going on in the last 4 months. I don't know what's going on up there. Lovely town, Vilnius, I'm sure, but, you know.
Was just removed from the Interpol list, actually, so that's probably why he finally traveled.
Okay.
So he might still be on a wanted list in Russia for his, whatever, $500 bribe to,
two people
who probably were going to buy him food or something,
I forgot about the $500.
Yeah, it's a ridiculous amount. I mean, so...
Yeah, especially when you look at the Sochi Olympics and the Olympic Committee. But anyway, moving on. So, on Sunday, Misha claimed that the person who beat Member of Parliament Chiodov Takhtakashvili in front of the National Library was appointed to a position where he gets 3,000 lari per month. Misha didn't identify him by name or position. So, Misha or people around Misha, let us know who this person is. We'd be interested to know. The Interior Ministry intends to buy 2,900 mini cameras which can be hidden in clothing. The ministry says the cameras are necessary to monitor the work of the patrol police, but the opposition states that the police are switching to total control.
I guess I'm a little bit confused about the details here, but the thing that I find quite interesting is, first off, I would love to have one of these cameras, but secondly, one thing I found really interesting when I was in Ukraine not long ago was that many of the drivers actually had their own recorders going on professional drivers rather had their own video recording, kind of constantly going, and they had it on in order to avoid any sort of, illegal arrest or, you know, speeding ticket or anything like that, so that they had their own proof that they could, you know, say, no, that's not what happened. And I thought that was really
interesting. Very common in Russia as well that they're doing now. And that's why they have all these shots of the meteor or something in Russia.
Oh, right.
There's all these different people, you know, here in their windshield. And it was like, why do all these people have these cameras? And evidently one of the problems in Russia is people just sort of, standing on the side of the road and then sort of jumping in front of a car saying that they've been run over or something. I don't know.
There was actually a really funny video of that where it shows a guy doing exactly that. It was really amazing.
Yeah, I know. It's an interesting ploy. I'll have to try that one of these days. Don't try it on Rustavelli.
Actually, I was going to say, you might not have to try.
On Friday, Misha had a two-hour-long meeting with Tbilisi State University students. And on Saturday met with Ilya Uni students. Both meetings were closed to the media. Some students claim only students loyal to the president were allowed to attend and ask questions. Students protested outside the meetings by whistling, throwing things at the president's motorcade. Imedi TV released some audio from the meeting at Tbilisi State in which Misha says, quote, I understand this methodology and this technique well. I've used it myself. I'm an old revolutionary. How can anybody frighten me by whistling? The accusation that people were killed in the streets is as ridiculous as saying, I ate breasts. Yeah, I don't know.
I know about that.
They say the 37 best brave men were killed. Who was the best? Vazagashvili. Vazagashvili had two guns and was going to kill people. End quote. Gaila intends to bring a lawsuit against Misha for slandering Zurab Vazagashvili. He and Alexander Khubalov were killed in the 2006 May demonstrations during a police operation. Gaila representative stated that the investigation into the case isn't finished yet, and Misha's statements cast a moral stain on Vazagashvili's family.
Yeah, the Christian Democrats actually, an MP from the Christian Democratic Party, tried to, in 2009, open up an investigation into this case and three others for kind of police brutality, and they were basically shut down from doing so. But it's interesting that these cases nonetheless continue to come up, regardless of how much discussion or how much time has passed.
On Monday, an attack in Helmand province in, province in Afghanistan killed three Georgian soldiers, Corporal Alexandre Kvitsinadze, Sergeant Zvia Davitadze, and Corporal Vladimir Shanava. 27 others were wounded. From reports, it was quite a serious firefight that involved a suicide bomber with significantly higher casualties among the attackers. Yesterday, the government recommended Misha declare May 16th a day of mourning in memory of the fallen soldiers. Government decided to give ownership of the Richard G. Lugar Public Health Research Center in Tbilisi to the National Center for Disease Control and Public Health. The center's property will be handed over to Amiran Gamkhelidze, head of the center, who says that the government's decree only concerns the legal status of the research center. Former government built the center in 2011. Well, actually, it was built over many years, 10 years or something, with U.S. government financing and oversight. The center was much in the news recently when there were a bunch of stupid allegations that it was doing all sorts of creepy things. So the story was portrayed with this sort of change in ownership structure as somehow being connected with that.
Yeah, it's actually been headed by Georgians and had almost all Georgians working there, I think, since its very inception. And it's apparently one of the most expensive centers one of the biggest investments that the United States has made here. And it's all part of this kind of one health policy, basically, where it's like looking at the relationship between veterinary and human diseases and infections and kind of, looking at how apparently it's like 60% of all infections in humans can actually stem from animals. And so they're looking at, African swine fever, and I think I just messed that name up, but
African killer swine fever bees.
I think I combined some things there. Looking at, there have been some things that have happened in Georgia that I think this center has probably been dealing with and researching.
It's a very, very serious lab and a big, big project by the U.S. Part of the expense was due to just, colossal disorganization. I wouldn't say corruption, but just sort of, contractors that screwed things up and, the usual sort of U.S. government glitches. But part of it was that it's just a very, very serious facility, and they do a lot of research, and it's great that Georgia has something like that going. Newspaper Chronica claimed that they have obtained exclusive info on how Americans won over more than 10,000 young Georgians. Since 1990, Americans have been secretly spying on talented liberal atheist young Georgians who don't respect Georgian traditions. They made sure that these people got accepted in universities in the U.S., which they control. Later, they suggested these individuals cooperate with a central intelligence agency. After returning to Georgia, America helped these people get into high positions in the government and the NGO sector, provided they produce pro-American propaganda. According to the newspaper secret source, here's a list of the people who are in fact agents of America. Giga Bokeri, Levan Ramashvili, Petre Tsitskarashvili, Georgi Baramidze, Georgi Vashadze, Akominashvili, Georgi Kandelaki, Teatut Beridze, Georgi Meladze, Nino Kalandadze, Sergei Kapanadze, Irakli Kaftaradze, Shota Utiashvili, Kachalomaya, Khatia Dekanoidze, Tamar Chergulashvili, Tamar Kinsurashvili, Dato Tsikoralidze, Temur Yakubashvili, Zurab Chibarashvili, Gigi Tevzadze, Sergo Ratiani, Zurab Japaridze, Nika Gvaramia, and Mariam Sajaya. If you want to understand the deepest, darkest, most befuddled fears of the most annoyed and least educated Georgians, this article will show you the way. It's incredibly stupid, but pay attention to this stuff. It really matters.
They apparently have a really high opinion of the effectiveness of the CIA.
Yeah, exactly. A much higher opinion than most Americans, I think, you know, now that the CIA has turned into, you know, the drone control unit of the United States.
That's a pretty impressive list of people.
Well, here's my question. Like, so they need to, you know, sorry, we as Americans, you know, have needed to find Georgians who don't respect Georgian tradition. So how do you do that? Like, what's the test look like that you have to take to identify yourself as one of the Georgians that don't respect Georgian traditions?
It's probably, you know, you take them to a meal and you see how they eat kinkadi or something, you know,
right.
And then do they use a fork and knife?
Do
you drop the juice and, you know, then they're like, got him.
That we know. Exactly. I think that's it. We've identified it. So if you see some, like, old guys in suits, you know, sort of American looking with a couple of young Georgians at a Shemusha de Ganatvale, you know, and they're, like, you know, taking pictures of them eating kinkadi, you know what's going on. According to a Gallup survey, 91% of Georgians feel safe walking alone at night. Only 8% said they don't feel safe. Gallup conducted a survey of 134 countries with the same question. How safe do you feel walking alone at night? The highest percentage of people that feel safe is in Qatar, where 92% reported they feel safe. So Georgia is among the very, very highest in the world in terms of safe, confident feelings walking around at night. According to the survey, residents of the U.S., France, and Germany and other Western countries feel significantly less safe than Georgian citizens. On Tuesday, heavy rain and hail destroyed vineyards and agricultural land in the villages Vejini, Kolagi, Bertusiche, and Kardenachi. The Kakheti deputy governor, Georgi Botokveli, said that the disaster was huge and they need the central government's assistance. Also in Kakheti, a Stalin statue in the center of Sikhnahi was restored.
When was it taken down? I mean, there was that whole big, you know, kind of renovation of Sikhnahi in the center and everything, and I can't imagine
there was not a Stalin statue before then. I mean, it was not there in 1998, and I would be surprised if, you know, maybe they took it down in the early 90s, but I'm guessing that it hadn't been there since the 50s. Hmm. Anybody from Sikhnahi know anything about that? Let us know. EBRD downgraded its forecast for Georgia's 2013 economic growth by 2 percentage points to 3%. Earlier this year, the EBRD predicted that the country's economy would grow 5%. It explained the downgrade in the growth forecast by pointing out that Georgia's economic slowdown toward the end of last year was likely due to lower foreign investment and uncertainty relating to the post-election political transition. On Monday, the European Economic Chamber opened an office in Tbilisi. The State Minister for European and Euro-Atlantic Integration, Alexei Petriashvili, declared that the opening of the Chamber's Georgia office will facilitate the implementation of concrete EU-Georgian business projects.
It's interesting because there are a number of business chambers that are kind of opening up these days. I don't know there's the Dutch one that just recently opened. I mean, and there are
the Brits are getting together. I don't know what the European Economic Chamber sounds different than the European Chamber of Commerce.
Because
there's the
EU Georgia Business Council already.
I know, it sounds like it's time for a council of councils. I don't know. If anybody knows what the European Economic Chamber is, let us know. It sounds like it could be cool, or it could not be so much.
Or it could be duplicative.
Duplicative. Yeah, I mean, I'm all in favor of duplicaticity, but, you know, I mean, why not? But, you know, not like any, you know, AmCham has a lock on anything. But still, you know, I mean, let's just figure out who these guys are. Last Thursday, the famous Georgian actor Otar, holder of the most difficult name in Georgian, Megvine Tuhutsesi, who was People's Artist of Georgia in the USSR and famous for his starring role in the film Data Tutashkia, died at the age of 81 after many years of illness. On Saturday, the 2013 Tbilisi Wine Festival was held at the Ethnographic Museum. It was organized by the Wine Club, with support from the National Wine Agency and Tbilisi City Hall. The event aimed to support domestic wine producers was wildly successful. I know a lot of people who went. I myself was not there.
And actually, tomorrow is going to be a very interesting day here in Tbilisi because there's going to be this protest on the International Day of against Homophobia.
Right. And we'll mention that in just a second. And now, for your parliamentary news update, Misha vetoed the amendment to the Civil Code and the Constitutional Court. Former includes changes to the legal form of nonprofit entities, which would allow NGOs to become legal entities of public law. As reported, there are some issues with that, specifically coming from Iliaoni, and it really seems to be quite a dangerous amendment. Amendments to the law in the Constitutional Court would make it so that institutions could suspend controversial legislation within 30 days of it being passed by Parliament. This amendment is directly related to the amended law on common courts, since it's likely that the other side will challenge it in the Constitutional Court and the law on general courts will be suspended. Parliament will start discussing a draft law that would soften the punishment for using marijuana.
In regards to the first thing that you mentioned, is it actually that legal entities of public law can be considered NGOs, or is it that NGOs can become legal entities of public law? Because if it's both or one or the other, it's quite interesting.
I'm not really sure. I think the concern from Iliaoni was that that it would essentially give the government the ability, related specifically to universities, the government the ability to take over universities, and that certainly would be very dangerous.
Well, it also, I mean, has an implication related to essentially gongos, because, you know, if you have a legal entity of public law that all of a sudden is going to be considered an NGO. I mean, legal entities of public law are essentially, you know, reporting to state institutions while theoretically being independent.
Indeed. I mean, the whole question of legal entities of public law, or as we like to call them here on tbilpod.com, LEPLs, is an important question. It'd be interesting to see it. We can get a list of them. Supposedly, over the last several months, there has been a catalog of them, but they could be done. There's no legislative mechanism saying that, for example, the Ministry of Justice has to keep a catalog of them. They can just be sort of created, so they're kind of hard to find, and a lot of them are just hibernating. A lot of them actually have a lot of money running through them, so it's an important issue.
Which, of course, means that the legislation related to LEPLs is much less stringent than it is for NGOs, because there's certainly a list of all the functioning NGOs.
Exactly. Well, because it's centralized through the public registry. This week's meme is a BBC's much sent around BBC's Damian McGuinness visit to a Georgian cemetery on the day after Easter. This day is traditionally spent visiting those buried in cemeteries, toasting the dead and eating Pascha and other stuff, a special Easter cake. We'll put the link up on the forum. It's a really great story, and we'll sort of help you understand a lot about Georgia. I think it shows a lot about how long I've been here, and that I saw it, and I was like, yeah, so what's the big deal? And I was posted, and a couple of people emailed me asking, like, oh my God, that's so weird that people do that. But I think it's an excellent thing to do, and he portrays it quite well in the story.
I think it's very similar to what they do in Mexico, actually, the Dia de los Muertos, where they basically they go and do almost the same thing. They go and eat on the graves of their relatives.
Mm-hmm. One more you know, of the many commonalities between Georgia and Mexico. This week's with, like, corn flour. This week's geocapital number is 1066, which is the total number of patents in force in Georgia, according to the 2011 data from the World Intellectual Property Organization. The number is 285 in Armenia, 169,000 in Russia, 7,565 in Turkey. List is topped by the United States with more than 2 million patents in force, followed by Japan with 1.5, and China with almost 700,000 patents, although many of the American ones are software patents that are completely ridiculous because software should not be patented. And now they're looking at patenting genes. Your genes, not genes made, but genes that are already in your body.
There's a really, really interesting This American Life podcast about how patents have basically become a weapon rather than a tool. The whole idea is kind of converted from, you know, someone releasing their idea into the public domain, but then retaining kind of ownership over it while other people are allowed to use it, to people essentially the exact opposite, people being able to kind of create something and then retain total control and then sue people for using it.
That's exactly what's happening. There's a whole collection of bottom feeders that are making money off of that. And I mean, you can see it, for example, at the, you know, towards the end and right on Heroes Square, there was a group of I can't remember what it was called, but it was sort of the Georgia intellectual property lepel that was going along with clipboards to restaurants in town saying, if you're playing the radio, you have to pay us per number of chairs for the, you know, copyrights of the music that you're playing. And they would send that into some international entity that would supposedly pay musicians. And the whole thing was just ridiculous. Sorry, we have no information on Amidani or Rustavelli movies this week. The Kolga movies are on tomorrow, on Friday, Macaroni from 1985. Saturday, May 18th, Two or Three Things I Know About Her from 1967. Sunday, May 19th, Amarcord from 1973. All movies start at 6 p.m., although check that, it may be 8 p.m., I'm not sure, at Dunkino across from Rustavelli Metro and McDonald's. Tickets cost 16 lari. Now, on to the big event tomorrow. On May 17th, that's Friday, Identoba, a LGBT group, will have a demonstration to promote the International Day Against Homophobia and Transphobia. It will start at 1 p.m. sharp in front of the former parliament building in Tbilisi. Last year, participants in the 2012 Tbilisi Idaho March were attacked by religious fundamentalists. To this day, the Georgian government has not launched a formal investigation of these assaults. Show up to this. If you Google Identoba, that's India, Delta, Echo, November, Tango, Oscar, Bravo, Alpha, or LGBT Tbilisi, you will find it. It'll be brief and at lunchtime, so come and bring five friends. If you are assaulted or attacked, don't say anything or fight back. Just
or
be cool.
Wear your button camera. But
wear your button camera, exactly. You have one of those cameras, wear one of those. Bring cameras, bring phones with cameras, make sure your phone's charged.
But the you know, actually BI's come out with some very positive statements about this, and said that, you know, these people need to be respected, and I think there are going to be a number of ambassadors that go to this event as well. So it'll be very, very interesting to see what happens.
Yeah, it will be. And he did make some comments, and he said that the police would be there and enforce and prevent violence, which would be great. On May 18th at 6 p.m. at the National Gallery, formerly the Blue Gallery, there'll be an exhibition of David Kakabadze. Visitors will have an opportunity to see more than 100 works, abstract and photographs, stored several museums and private collections. The exhibition lasts until July 10th. The gallery is located at 11 Rustavelli Avenue, right across from High School Number 1, sort of catty corner from Parliament, the Tbilisi Parliament. For those of you who don't know, he is a really, really great painter, so go to this. If you're in Portland and looking for some great Georgian food, go to Karigigogo, a new Georgian food cart pod. I don't know what a food cart pod is, but it's like a food cart. They sell Badrijani, Lobiani, Khingali, Khachapuri, and more. How you can make like Khingali in a food cart is just impressive.
That's right? How yeah, they get them.
Wow.
It's all making sense now. Karigigogo
is CA. Right. They're the recruiters. Tell your Portland, Oregon friends all about it. For more information, go to karigigogo.com or look up at Karigigogo PDX on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram. There is Karigigogo gear. They've got a great logo, t-shirts, baby onesies. I don't really know what a onesie is. Tote bags are now for sale on their webpage. Their phone is 503-489-8432. That's it for this week. My Twitter address is at TXTBUK. Our email address is tpilpod, tblpod at gmail.com. Or post to the forum or on our website at www.tpilpod.com. And this week, we will finish up with, written by Dallas Frazier, performed by the Hollywood Argyles. This is 1960 and Alley-Oop.
There's a man in the funny papers we all know. He lives way back a long time ago. don't eat nothing but a bear cat stew. Well, this cat's name is Alley-Oo. He got a chauffeur that's a genuine dinosaur. And he can knuckle your head before you count too far. He got a big ugly club and a head full of howl. Like great big lions and grizzly bears. He's the toughest man there is alive. Wearing clothes from a wildcat's hide. He's the king of the jungle jive.
Look at that caveman go.
Rides through the jungle tearing limbs off of trees. Knocking great big monsters dead on their knees. The cats don't bug him cause they know better. Cause he's a mean motor scooter and a bad go-getter. The toughest man there is alive.
Alley-oop.
Wears clothes from a wildcat's hide.
Alley-oop.
He's the king of the jungle jive.
Look at that caveman go.
There he goes.
Alley-oop.
Look at that caveman go.
Alley-oop.
He sure is hip, ain't he?
Alley-oop.
Like what's happening? He's too much. Right, daddy, right. Hi-yo, dinosaur. Right, daddy, right. Get 'em, man. Like Hipsville.